Have we started?
Huh?
Is it going? Are we rolling?
Is what going?
Action. What happens if I do? What happens if I play with these knobs over here? I'll put it back. Wait, where was this? I'm going to just put it right in the middle. That seems like a good spot to me.
I don't think so. Hold on. We actually did already start.
Oh.
I said I wanted to start in an unofficial way.
Well, does that look good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I mean, yeah, we know what we're doing. Well, thank you for making this coffee for me.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Is this
it's a Peruvian blend.
Single origin from the ground, organic.
It's a hybrid double seed spec that is brand new for 2018. Co-operated with Apple Incorporated. So you get that really nice Steve Jobs reminiscent while taking each sip.
So we're sitting in your living room, and we're sitting on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Facing each other on a coffee table, like leaning down, like Bible style right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do a podcast anyway else.
Your shoes are off, so.
I'm taking my shoes off. Yeah, take yours off. Come on, gotta get
take my shoes off.
The full effect.
Are we
here.
More artistic if we're sitting on the ground with our shoes off?
Yeah,
because
then your feet are planted with the earth and it's all about the earth.
What kind of mug do you have right now?
It says Mouth Breather. I believe it's from SpongeBob.
I thought it was going to say Stranger Things.
Yeah, it looks like it's...
I have a Waffle House mug.
Yeah, I took that from Waffle House.
I was going to say you don't have to answer this, but did you steal this mug?
I didn't take it. I sat there and I raised my hand and I asked them how much it would be if I could just buy it right there. And they said $5. So, key of the day, if you want a Waffle House mug, just ask them how much it is and however they're feeling of the day, just purchase it. And
I think that's a great deal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty nostalgic.
Yeah, it's definitely look at it every single night before I go to bed, so it was worth it.
So, thank you for agreeing to talk to me today.
I mean, money talks,
It's not like we've been talking for 3 hours already, and we had tacos for lunch. It was quite delicious.
Shout out to, are we sponsored yet?
Okay,
say. Willy Taco, appreciate your endorsement.
Appreciate you letting us eat in your restaurant for a small fee.
Yeah, very generous of you.
So, tell me about you, Mr. Orion York. You're a barista.
I am a home barista.
If
you ever need coffee, just come on by. Three knocks and one tap at the door, I'll know. Apart from my barista endeavors, I make videos for people. I guess you'd say videographer. I've been making videos since I was 10. Just found a camera that my dad had, and he'd always used to record me growing up. Always had a camera in my face. And then one day, I snagged that camera. Was like, let me see what I can do with it. So started filming just stupid stuff as a 10-year-old does, and throughout the years, just filming and editing everyday life occurrences and trying to make stuff funny and write some things, and found a computer in a dump, and it had some editing software on it. And so that's when I started editing videos, because prior, it was an old Hi8 Sony camera, so it had like little tapes that you record on, and you could do basic editing by making crossfades and cuts just all in camera. So I do that and then just hook it up to the TV and watch it back. So that computer was like the first vehicle for like editing and exploring that. And then graduated high school and took a gap year, and now that gap year has turned into gap life. So still living the
gap life.
Yeah, still living the gap year out.
How many times are you asked today, are you going to go back to college, Orion York?
I mean, it's not like every day, but anytime I have an interaction with a client or somebody with another human out when I get outside my apartment bubble. It's always the question of where do you go to college? How did you learn this? Et cetera, et cetera. And I always find that they're either immediately supportive of me saying, oh, I didn't go to college, I graduated a year early to get out and do my thing, or immediate judgment and despise for why would you ever skip college?
As if college is like the only rite of passage
right,
in life.
Right, exactly. So it's quite often that I get asked that question. It also doesn't help that I have a face of like a 12-year-old and they're wondering why I'm not in school and out shooting a project for them. But yeah, it can get a little bit, it's definitely repetitive. I definitely have my same answer down every single time for them. So it's just.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a debate in general about college and whatever. Like, I tell people to go to college, they should go to college unless they just strongly feel like they shouldn't. And I didn't go to college either. But so you've basically been self-taught and just taught from your experiences and through your own set of eyes.
Yeah, yeah. YouTube. Shout out to YouTube. That's
small
been,
website.
Yeah, that small website that I created a few years back has really helped me. And no, so YouTube is my college, basically. Interacting with other creatives is my classroom, and just getting out and doing something, getting experience. I feel like a lot of people that respect our industry realize that experience is king over a piece of paper saying that you got taught something. So yeah, I've always been a huge advocate, and my parents as well. Like, from the minute I told them I want to make movies someday, they're like pushing me to go to camps or encouraging me to take a year off after high school to pursue that. And they never pushed me to go to college. They never pushed me to have that one rite of passage that everybody thinks it is, that college is. They're very supportive of that. And that was a huge help for sure. And that was awesome, because experience is where is what got me to where I am today, is just being able to do
on top
what
of
I
your
like.
Kingdom of Ryan.
I'm on top of my pillow on the floor on this podcast right now.
And that was something that I kind of want to talk about, is I think like one thing that holds people back from pursuing something in any creative field is like validation and feeling like they need to be validated and or like approved to go do something. So like someone that's currently a, you know, working a different type of job that went to college for that job now thinks they can't like transition into a creative career because they didn't go to school for that creative career. So you have like the high schooler that's not going to go to college and do the creative career, but then you also have the person that's already gone to college and now they're in this career and they think they're stuck and they can't go and jump into something else. And it's like they think they have to be validated to say, you're now good enough to go do this, or here's your qualification to now go be a designer or a web designer or a photographer or videographer. And I think something that you've clearly done is just like done your own thing and not really waited for someone to tell you that you're allowed to do it. And I think that's something I've had to process, that I've had to go to, is like, no one's gonna come to me and say, Jordan, you're qualified to make a podcast, now go do it. It's like you kind of have, it seems like you've just followed your own like path, and I don't think you would be where you were, but looking at your work, if you wouldn't have just gone your own way and not, because if you'd have been waiting for someone to say, all right, Orion, you can now have your own business, you can now go to this concert and shoot this, I don't think you would be where you are if you were just waiting on that like approval and or like word that yes, you're qualified to do this, go ahead, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the difference between what makes you somebody that's going to do it and somebody that just dreams about doing it is literally just doing it. And for somebody that thinks like, oh, I need that validation first, the way that I looked at it was, I'm going to give myself a goal that self-validates me. Like, I still don't feel like, I still have goals where I want to be. I still go into shoots not knowing what the heck I'm doing. Yes. It's a constant learning progression. But from the very beginning, I was like, okay, when I shoot for this company, or when I shoot for this artist, or when I shoot for this event, I'll know I've made it to a point where I'm like, okay, I got to where I wanted, and now let's move on to the next step. It wasn't, like you said, just waiting on somebody to say, hey, you've made it, start doing your thing. It's like, just start doing your thing on your own terms and set your own goals and get there.
Yeah, and it goes back to like the comparison kills motive of like, if someone is starting out and they're comparing to you or to someone else that's been doing it 3, 5+ years, it's like they automatically think that their work has to be there no matter what creative field they're in. And like, I think if you have that, if you care too much about being validated and needing to be as good as the person beside you, then you'll never like get there, you know?
Yep, exactly.
So the pillow that I'm sitting on, is this your pillow that you sleep on?
That's the pillow I sleep on. I drool on. I may have thrown up on it at one point.
I'm literally sitting on the pillow that you sleep on. Like, yes. I feel like this is a intimate moment here.
It's very intimate. And you took off your shoes and you're on the carpet that my dog has peed on repeatedly.
Where is your dog?
So she doesn't live with me. She's at my parents' house. Okay. Yeah.
So she just comes to visit.
Yeah, occasionally. But this was taken from my parents' house where she would do her business on. So if you smell any scents, that is courtesy of her.
It's not any incense going around.
It's no, just... no incense. It's pee scents.
So tell me about your travels recently and what that's looked like for you and like how you see that as a part of your business.
Yeah. So it was
Cali.
Yeah. Cali, baby. Cali life, bro.
You got that Supreme hat on right now.
Okay. It's a super meme. Oh, all right. I'm not ever rocking Supreme or anything. I am a huge fan of like memes and meme merch. I have a shirt that says Colgate that looks like the Supreme logo. Like, I'm all about that. The less serious someone takes me, the better it is for me. Mm-hmm. That's the image I like to put out there. Very professional, obviously. But back to travel. So it's kind of funny because when I started this as a business,
when was that, by the way?
So I'd say when I was 17. So about 2.5 years ago,
okay,
is when I was like right out of high school. In 2015, I was like, all right, I'm going to turn what I love doing into a business. I saw other people doing it. Like some of my friends would get small weddings. So I started by borrowing their camera or trying to get them involved so I could set up a shoot. Even though I had no equipment, I'd like piggyback off of them. Yes,
that is great. I love that.
And so that I could just start building, and I'd put out Craigslist ads. I'd go on Craigslist and look for gigs. Started off filming like of fourth graders' football games and making highlight reels for the whole season, filming a 2-year-old's birthday party, a 4-year-old's graduation, like the stuff that people dream about when they want to make it to Hollywood. So I was sitting pretty with that stuff. But it was really strange because early on I got to travel, which I never thought I'd be able to do for work and get paid. And I was going down to Florida a bit doing photography. And that's kind of what I started out as, even though I was marketing on Craigslist. Like, I'm a videographer.
Hardcore Craigslist marketer.
Yeah, yeah. I was a veteran of Craigslisting. I'd still get a lot of photography gigs. So I was flown down to Florida twice for some photography projects in North Carolina. Oh, yeah, first class always, duh. wouldn't have gone if not, only getting paid top dollar. So, no, very long hours, but it was great. It was fun. I was like, I'm traveling and I'm getting paid to do almost what I love doing. It was photography, so I was almost there. And then I spent the year after that just grinding in Greenville and finding a market here.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't do any traveling whatsoever except for maybe a one-off throughout the year. And just grinded for a solid year and a half here, built up a good client base here. And then that work kind of started to spread to Charlotte, to Atlanta, then up the East Coast. And just thanks to Instagram, random people from California and New York would be interested in working with me. And for the most part, those things fizzle out. But I was able to grab a lot of travel work, mainly just from planning a trip to New York with some friends. Well, my girlfriend and another one of my buddies who does videography as well. And we're just like, yo, let's... It was January and February. I said, I'm taking these months off just to focus on creating for me, getting back into that, like re-energizing myself because I was getting caught up in clientele stuff, which can be exhausting. Hmm. Oh, the woes and complaints, am I right? So exhausting working. But anyway, so go up there and we just email some hotels and we're like, hey, we're going to be up there. Give us like a few free nights and we'll create an awesome video and give you some photography because my girlfriend's an amazing photographer. Shout out to you, Emily Wilson. Follow her on Instagram.
And not to interrupt you. Yes, Emily Wilson. She's amazing. So not to interrupt you, but I do want to jump on this because I feel like because Emily is going to photograph a show tonight, you were telling me, and then you're talking about the hotel, and I've done this a few times and it's been successful, but like talk about the idea of like really reaching out to find, so you have your client work that's paying you good money and you just like pinched your finger.
Yeah. My toe nailed.
You were doing so good to not tell anyone. I know.
Now we're all off the rails.
Okay. So you're literally like doing this client work and some of this work that's not as exciting, but you're pushing towards like work that you actually want to do, passion projects, things like that. So I think people think sometimes that you're just eventually going to start getting paid for the work you love to do always, and you're not going to have to like, and I think there's an element of pushing towards it and also pushing yourself into those fears. So like you shooting at concerts or hotels or different things, like what would you say to a creative in general in the importance of reaching out to find that work that you want to do and maybe sacrificing some to be able to do that?
Yeah, I'd say if you're willing to sacrifice, like let's say payment, right? That's the biggest thing. Make sure it's something that you really want to do. That it's passion for you. And for me, I really wanted to try the hotel game. Like, I really wanted to try to make some cool piece for hotel. And I didn't care if I got paid or not, just as long as I could get that experience and get that in my portfolio, knowing, hey, I can use this piece to then get paying clients, paying hotel chains in the future in much better places that I want to go to. So it's all about weighing out your options. If you're in debt and you're just running around traveling for fun and wanting to do all these experiences, it might pay off, but I mean, that's not the smartest business move. Right. You really have to weigh your options, and that's where it comes to grinding and doing the stuff that you don't really like to pay the bills, and then finding a good balance between sacrificing some pay for life experience, your education, and just making connections. And that's kind of like what that trip was I was grinding for so long and, you know, making the rent and all that, but I wanted to step back and explore other avenues, and I was willing to, yeah, I don't care if I don't get paid, like, just cover my room and I'll be cool. Like, let's
what's been your favorite experience out of all those shoots that you've gone and done for maybe less pay, but it's maybe brought something else beneficial to your business or your life?
I'd say probably that New York trip, because it was just such a turning point. A light bulb went off. I was like, let's do it. I literally, like, set it up, called Emily, called my friend Joseph, and we, like, just did it. And that's, like, going back to that, it's like, you just have to do it at a certain point. You can talk about it all day, you can fantasize, and it's like, just get up and do it. And it was literally 2 weeks before, and we're like, let's do it. And then a week before, we write the hotels, and we're stressing out because we bought our tickets, we're set to go in 6 days, and we have nowhere to stay. And we're spamming hotels, and a bunch of them got back while we were actually on our flight, and we booked one while we had just landed. And that one was probably one of the best strategic moves I've made in a while, because I made that connection. They then have hired me for multiple projects, brought me out to California, brought me to New York multiple times. I met one of their clients who now uses me just because I did a free video for them.
And people miss that. People look at you, look at me, look at other freelancers and say, it's so much. I had someone tell me recently, they asked me how many shoots or weddings I had booked for the year. And I told them, and I don't really tell people those kind of things, but I don't go around telling people what I have to do. But if they ask, I'm going to tell them. And he goes, well, you must just be like cruising along now. Mm. Life just must be easy. And I think like, that's a cop out for people that don't want to work hard, just to say that, well, you just have it easy. So you just prove that that's not true, in that you sacrifice to go there. Like, yeah, it's fun when it's happening, but when you were sitting back editing that, you're thinking, okay, I'm still working for free. And like, just to show that it led to paid work. And I think after watching this one commercial cinematography class, it was that he showed his reel and he was like, all right, 75% of that wasn't paid work. Like, we're trying to push ourselves in a direction, and a lot of that stuff was travel and hotels on his work. And he's like, 75% of this is passion project. So we're pushing ourselves in this direction, and then we just become known for the person that does that. You know, like Orion does these travel films and does hotels and does these things. And like, you go from doing them for free to being like the person that's like, eventually to the person that's known for doing that, doing it well, charging a lot of money, and like making them good. And I think, especially with video not taking that turn of like being the most popular thing yet, like it's still a website, it's still photography, that when you do prove yourself in that first video, you have their attention, you have their like ear to like your other ideas. And that's when you're saying you're pitching stuff and then getting paid.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And nobody starts just traveling and getting paid for it. Like, everybody starts somewhere, and it honestly, like, it starts with sacrificing. And the most feedback that I got, I always used to post my client stuff on my Instagram last year, and it'd just be like client shoot after client shoot, and I get good responses. But then I started going out with friends and just filming whatever we did. And I remember I went out with my friend, he had a longboard, we went to Free Green Villains Poe Mill, and we just shot something in 3 hours. That sounds
like a fancy place.
Yeah, it's very upper class, top of the line skate park. Just went there, filmed something in 3 hours, edited it that night, posted it, and the response I got from that was crazy. And people asking, hey, can you do this video for my brand? Can you do this video for my company? Because of something that I just went out and did for no pay, had no intention of making it any sort of marketing strategy or anything. And I keep finding that, like, anything I do for myself or anything I do as like a passion project, that's where my work comes from. Not the third video for this dentistry down the road. You know, it's like people love to see you in your work.
I think attention's everything. And when you're doing something interesting, you have their attention. And then when they're looking for the video, they're thinking of you. So I think that's super valuable. And yeah, it's just cool to see you like doing your thing and loving it. And just,
I'm loving it, man.
Just loving it and probably hating it sometimes too. Like that's something I was going to talk about. It's like, we talked about this earlier, but I feel like people just, they only see the parts that we're loving, you know? Yep. And so like the entrepreneur life, the freelancer life isn't all that Instagram just shows it to be. So do you have anything that's like a struggle for you or parts of it that you're like, hey, like people probably don't know this is what I do too, like to like make this work, you know?
Yeah, dude, all of it. Like I constantly chat with my buddy all the time because he's in a line of work that seems like it would be so fun and cool. And every single day we're just complaining to each other about like, dude, this is what I'm dealing with. What are you dealing with? Like we just vent like every single day. Just because it depends on the clients that you get. It depends on the work that you get. Like, if I could do anything, I'd drop everything and, like, go make short films or go make travel stuff with friends. But then you have to step back and realize, if I were just to drop everything and make travel films with friends, like, by that time, I'd be doing that over and over again, and I'd be stressed with that and want something else. It's always a continuous battle when you're... I don't like to consider myself like a creative or anything, but for the sake of the conversation, like creatives as a whole, like if you're a creative mind, you don't like doing the same thing over and over again.
You are a creative mind.
All right, fine. We'll roll with it.
I'm not creative. Okay.
That's fine. But it's like, it doesn't matter if we have the best job in the world, dude. It's like, give us a year in, we're going to be complaining 100%. About it. Yeah. So it's anything. It's a clientele shoot that I didn't really want to do. And now I'm editing it for the 10th hour because of revisions. And I'm like, oh, I'm never doing anything like this again. And then next week somebody calls me up. Oh yeah, sure. I'd love to. And then just repeats the same thing. But it's because I love it. Like you love the grind, and you have to love the 5 a.m. mornings where then you have to wake up at like 8 a.m. for your next shoot and you're working on this stupid thing to get to this stupid person, but you love it because you love the reaction that they get when you finally perfect it for them. Or like usually obviously it's always the first try, you want to make them happy, but you always have that one person that always wants to put their hand in there and mix something up, and which I'm totally fine with, but it does cause stress and it causes anxiety. But once it's done and over with, it's like, all right, I made them happy and I served them the way that they needed. And like at the end of the day, that's the satisfaction for me. And getting through the grind and venting every single day to someone about it
grind,
really helps.
The Maker's Grind podcast.
The Maker's Grind. Hey, shout out to the Maker's Grind podcast on available on iTunes.
Subscribe. Hey, speaking about subscribe, tell me about your new YouTube ventures because I'm loving it.
All right.
Mickey D's.
So
feel free to turn this off now if you hate it. Okay.
YouTube, right? So why the heck would I even spend more time pouring into something else when I'm stressing and complaining every single moment about everything else? Video-wise, but YouTube has always been, I'd say, I guess like a drive for me. I first put a YouTube video on YouTube a year after it launched in 2009 with a webcam, and I've removed all the old videos.
I would
videos.
Love to see that.
Actually. Yeah, there's some really golden ones on there. But that's how I got through, and that's how I challenged myself to make new things was, what am I going to put on YouTube next? I was getting 2 views a video, like 10 max, right? But
on the best days.
Yeah, on the best days. But for me, it was just like an outlet where I could put my videos somewhere, and it wasn't just staying on my computer. And it kind of gave me a purpose, like I'm making this video for this platform. So I'd occasionally upload through high school, and then I almost said through college. Yikes. Didn't go to college.
Through college.
Yeah, yikers. But through my college, I guess, aged years, I just throw some stuff up there occasionally. Just stuff that I wanted to make that I thought was funny. And I came across, you know, like all the Instagrammer video people a few years back, and how some of them are doing tutorials. I was like, I could do this. Like, this isn't that hard. I could definitely make something like this. So I've always toyed for like the last year about making tutorials. And as my five fans on Instagram kind of came up and asked me to do
5,000, let's be honest,
asked me to do like, how did you do this in this video? How did you make this audio effect? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, maybe there's a small audience that I have for this. And I wanted to do something different. I didn't want another tutorial out there where it was A, B, C, D, E, F, export. A, B, C, D, E, F, and then E stands for export. Wow, that's a good segue.
Good.
So anyway, yeah, so I'm trying to give like a funny twist on it. I'm trying to make it like the most ADHD experience on YouTube there is.
I felt
is.
Like it was like I've never done drugs, but I felt like cocaine could have like really been inserted into the video and it would have fit in perfectly. But
yeah.
Like the transition video specifically, or the speed ramping one I was watching and laughing. And I actually had to like control myself because I almost got mad at one of these guys in the comments. I was like, I typed this, like this guy like wrote this mean response, which is just YouTube guys. So I'm like typing this response and I'm like about to just roast this guy. And I'm
heck
like,
yes.
I'm like, God.
Yeah,
I know I shouldn't send this. I know I shouldn't tell this guy that if he's already watched 10 speed ramping videos and he doesn't get it by now, he needs to just quit.
Yeah.
But God, I'm just not going to do it. So I deleted it. But this guy was like, I'm watching these videos all the time about speed ramping videos. And this one is the worst. And I'm thinking, why are you still watching videos on how to speed ramp?
Yeah.
And if you don't like his, just don't watch them. But
yeah, it's been fun. And the funny thing is I appreciate all the support, but I love the hate comments. Like, I'll call up Emily or I'll call
you like drink your coffee in the morning. Like,
yes.
Let me check my hate mail.
Exactly. And that first one, I wouldn't say blew up, but I mean, it did really well and it got a lot of good feedback and a lot of bad feedback just because it's so different. And
but when you have, when the audience grows, you're going to get those people in the audience.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It comes with the, and I think that was something I was talking about the other day. It's like, if you want to be great, people are fine if you're good, but if you want to be great and you step yourself out to another level, I think that's when the hate comes because everybody's fine with everyone being like them. But then when they step out and say, I'm going to create a YouTube channel now, someone's going to have something to say about that.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
I'm going to create a podcast now. Someone's going to have something to say about that.
Right.
Or he shouldn't be doing this. Or why is he teaching tutorials? He thinks he's better than everyone.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure everyone has something to say, but it's like you're doing something as opposed to people hiding behind their Twitter thumbs or their like keyboard and like telling us what they really think while they're like eating their Oreos and drinking milk, you know. Nothing wrong with either of those.
I mean, hey, we'd be doing that right now about some of that, no doubt. But yeah, it was just interesting to see because I was not any way changing the game or breaking the mold, but just doing it a little bit differently. Even though that differently is acting like a retard and inserting memes every like 2 seconds. It's obviously going to trigger
I like
some
the granny
people,
in her chair. That was cool.
That was a good find. It was
if
weird.
I don't say so myself.
Because when I was doing the tutorial, I hadn't found that video yet. And I was just like thinking through it.
You're
and I was like
about
searching. I was like, that video works perfectly. That's been really fun and got a good response from that. So it's definitely a passion project. It's nothing that I'm like quitting my day job for. Nothing that I'm like giving up clients for. But it's definitely been a great outlet, as it always has been ever since like 2009, just like making something for a platform. And it's been really cool to see that other people enjoy it too, so that's been cool.
I find that, I don't want to get your opinion on this, but I find that like once I finally start something, I'm good, but it's like getting myself like I know that project's sitting over there in that folder, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, and I psych myself out and I think about it and I'm thinking it's not going to be as good as I want it to be.
Me.
I need to get my announcer voice in here.
Yeah, there we go.
My voice changes when I start the podcast.
Did you put that voice changer on before?
Yeah, it's actually in between the USB mic and the plug-in.
Nice.
So
okay,
Scott
cool.
is gonna, we're going to sound like ESPN hosts.
Yes.
But back to what I was saying, I guess if you like get to that point, how do you get yourself to that point of like, ready to do it? And then do you feel the same way as like once it's over? I was like, oh, why did I mean, I feel like once it's over, I'm like, why did I take so much time and like psych myself out about finally getting this done? But there's just something about, I feel like in this industry or creative industry in general, is like so much of it's in our mind and we're just getting ourselves to that place. Like you said, you're editing, or you said this earlier, you're editing, and then you think if you just like break away, then you'll come back and you'll be good, but you're really just like distracted, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The hardest part is just starting with anything, whether it's a painting, a drawing. Wow, those are so similar. Whatever. A sculpture, you know, like anything artistic or anything, even if it's like an invoice that I have to do, anything. Starting for me is the hardest part. And the way I get around that is like there's, I guess, three different ways. One is...
Ooh, I didn't know it was about to get good.
Yeah, we're going three
different... Get my notepad.
Yeah, here we go. Take some notes. Get the iMessage.
I'm so excited, actually. Yeah. I actually just sat up on top of my pillow.
Hey, don't squish it now. I got to sleep on that tonight, remember. One is just like literally buckling down and doing it. Like, shut everything off. Just buckle down and doing it. I have a deadline. I'm going to be late if I don't do it right now. And not really worrying about being creatively inspired about it. Just get the dang thing done. Another one is I'll just wait around till I get inspiration. And these are more for like passion projects. So those usually take the longest because I want to feel inspired so that I do the best I can on this project. And I get all the like energy needed, like mentally and inspirationally, to knock this out. And that can take up to, I worked on a project for 3 months, just little spurts, because I think I was ready and I'd go edit and I just hit a wall, like dead flat. I didn't know what clip should go next. I just had to step away and wait another week and then come back once I was inspired. And then I guess the third way is to try to hype myself up and inspire myself, whether that be like listening to music or looking at other creatives' videos or going to YouTube and searching something related to the video that I'm making, to kind of get me fueled up to do it and not let it come naturally. Because it is weird. Like, I filmed something last week. I heard a song on my Spotify playlist. I got this feeling in me. I was like, I have to film something right now. Run into my bathroom, spend 3 hours, film something, edit it that night, put it out that day. Just created a whole project from start to finish, and I was inspired the whole way through.
That was the shower one?
Yeah, that shower
one. I was just like waiting for you to like pop up with your face, just, like, with the water just falling in.
Right? Yeah. I thought about making it funny, but I was like, I don't know, something like dark hit me, or I don't know, maybe I was possessed mood. For a minute. Oh, yeah. Like mood af. But like that took me a day, and then I can't create an event recap that should take 2 hours because I'm not feeling it. Yes. Right. Yeah. So it's very strange the way that this mind works, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like we're like making excuses.
Oh, it's like, excuses, you know? All the time. Oh, yeah. And a big excuse that I find is, like I was telling you earlier, it's like, I deserve this break. Like,
yeah,
the editing can wait. Like, I need some me time, which, yeah, you always need you time. But when it's been 2 days and you haven't had a shoot that you can't, like, it's not like your schedule is busy. Like, you just have editing to do now. It's like, all right, that excuse can't last for 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row. It's like, you got to eventually get down and just do it.
Correct. Speaking of music, do you feel like, because I feel like for me, music inspires me a lot, and you just said it inspired you to make a video, but how do you think that, how does music, you know, work into your creativity? And also kind of, I'm curious, you've shot for some music people, so like those experiences and like what your maybe favorite experience has been with that.
Cool. All right, let's see.
Name drop. Name drop.
So music is definitely what drives like my videos. I edit to the beat of the song that I use. So if the song doesn't inspire me, or if I don't like the song, it's really hard to edit to.
Is that like a split though? Like, some editors like, I'm not editing to the beat. And then others are like, I'm editing to the beat. Right.
Yeah. It's very, it's the style, whatever their style is.
Yeah.
So I find like for the most satisfactory for me is seeing a video that's edited to the beat, and I like editing to the beat. So I do it that way. And I feel like with speed ramps, which is, I do a lot of, it works really well.
Really?
Speed ramps.
Speed ramp tutorial brought to you by Orion York.
Tutorial, youtube.com/OrionYork.
And read the comments if you want to be entertained.
Yes, for sure. And leave one of your own.
And subscribe.
And oh yeah, don't forget to subscribe. Hit that bell notification too. Become part of the squad fam.
This is the only way he agreed to be on this podcast. It's all of the plugs.
We have a 5-minute plug segment every 5 minutes. Yeah. So music is like a huge thing for me. That's the hardest part. Again, is I can spend up to like a week trying to find a song for a dang video. And I get stuck in these ruts of Spotify playlists and albums where I'm sitting there, click, click, click. I give it 3 seconds. If I don't like it, I'm skipping to the next. And hours a day, I'll do that just to find a song for this edit. And then when that song hits, again, that's where the inspiration hits, because I love when I find a song where I can picture the edit already playing through my head. I know the cuts I want for that song, and it's just like go time.
Yeah.
But it is frustrating when a client has a specific song that I'm not really digging, and that's really hard to work around to get that edit.
Like, do we get to pick the music? Do you get that question sometimes?
Yeah, it's I don't actually get to pick. No. So that's really great that I've never had anybody ask me that, because usually people that come to me see my style.
I get that question with weddings.
I understand. I don't get that
with commercial stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like weddings, I can totally see that. When I used to shoot weddings, and granted, these are like very low budget.
Back when weddings were cool for you. I'm kidding.
Back when I was, trying to, these were Craigslist ad weddings. So,
big budgets.
Yeah, big lots budgets of money here. So they totally had the rite of passage to ask for the songs
if they wanted.
But yeah, anything like that. And it's not like when somebody sees like my videos or whatever, they kind of see the style they're getting. They'll kind of know the type of music that they're getting, and that's why they reach out to me, because they like that. But sometimes I do have certain requests for a song that fits like the mood that they're going for the event or the whatever I'm covering. It's more like event stuff that they have a specific song choice for. But generally, even if they have a song choice, I'll find a song that I feel fits better and I'll edit it. And like 8 out of 10 times, they'll go with it. And then if not, I have that other song to back up on to just slap over and then.
Yeah, I love that.
Correct the edit. But
so tell me about your music shoot / like how those came about, what you've enjoyed about them. And like,
yeah.
Is that what you want to do more of?
Yeah, definitely. So
I knew what the answer was.
Yeah, like concert stuff is super fun for me right now. I always had a desire to shoot for music people. Not so much just because I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know the scene of it. I just wanted to shoot for Justin Bieber. You know, like, heck yeah, I'll work my way up to there and let me shoot for
the
JB.
Biebs.
Yeah, let me get to the Biebs. But
is that your life goal?
Okay.
Oh, wait, I know this. Okay. There's some kind of like big thing, right?
It's kind of like the life goal. I'd say it's a career goal. Definitely not a life goal, but a career goal. I would love to shoot for Justin Bieber. I've been trying to find Scooter Braun's email account for the past 3 years now. Hit me
so
up if you
like,
know it.
If you know his email account, let's make it happen for Orion.
Yeah,
people.
Let's do it right now.
We'll make a live audio show of him meeting him, and it'll be super. Yeah. Amazing.
This isn't for me. This is for you guys now. You guys want this. So, So starting off, obviously I realized I couldn't get right to the top. But I don't know when I started shooting music stuff, really. I think the first time was last summer.
Or do you remember the first time that you said this is what you want to do more of? Like you were experiencing something. Like you've been to some cool shows and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. I'd never been to a concert.
Really?
Never been to a concert. So the only reason I wanted to shoot was just so I could meet like famous people, basically. But
such
I knew
a,
I could
like,
do something cool with
such
it.
A genuine reason.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
such a genuine guy. Really wanted to follow his passion. Yeah.
I love that though.
Well,
just be honest, you know? Like,
yeah.
Honesty.
I think the real reason it came from was good old Roy Kramer back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, So I found his work like 2.5 years ago when he was not nearly as big as he is now. And he had this this vlog or something where he was with Justin Bieber. I'm like, who is this dude with Justin Bieber? Like, he's just a normal dude with a camera. And that kind of sparked it for him. Like, you just have to get experience. You don't have to be in Hollywood. You don't have to, like, do anything great. You just have to have the right connections. And that's when it kind of clicked for me. It was like, just start from the bottom and work up. And maybe you'll get there. Maybe you won't. Who cares? Like, it's all about who you know in that industry. And in videography industry, for sure, it's all about the connections and networking. So anyway, long story short, I went to my first festival in Charlotte last summer. And I think that was like the first concert I ever went to, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think I'd ever been to, like, I've been to stuff in, like, Falls Park, but I wouldn't consider that a
real
concert.
Stuff.
And this was by no means a festival either. There was a dude with a banjo on the stage, one DJ, and just a bunch of weed and drugs everywhere. So it was a fantastic
basically
time.
In a party sponsored by Orion.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they had like this, okay, this is how redneck it was. They had a side of a house that they'd brought in, and it had the gutter on the base of the house, and they called it the pee gutter, and you just go over there and pee in it instead of having bathrooms there. So great experience all around. Wow. Would recommend 10 out of 10. And I actually got brought on by this other guy who shot for EDM artists. So that was kind of like my first experience, and I hate that kind of scenery. Like, I'm not obviously I don't party. I don't do any of that crap. I don't partake in the
too
devil's
busy grinding on those edits.
Yeah. You
know,
me guys, I'm in my books. I'm in my computer all day. I'm a nerd. But no, so that kind of scenery doesn't interest me. But what does interest me is I was able to get an opportunity to shoot for some live performers. So I made the most out of it as I could, and kind of used that as leverage and started emailing managers. I'm like, hey, this is what I did for a cruddy little show in Charlotte. I'd love if you – I see you're playing locally. Like, I'd reach out to – I'd see tours and see who was coming around Charlotte or Asheville and say, hey, I'd love to cover some – one of your sets, if you're down, if you could just cover my gas, like wouldn't charge. Again, just strategically being free about what I wanted to do. And so I wouldn't say by any means it took off, but I'd just get one-offs here and there. I ended up shooting for Alan Walker, who was a pretty big influence for me music-wise, because I'd used some of his originals and remixes for some of my like clientele work.
Yeah, so I like that video. It was good.
Yeah, it was super cool to be able to like see him, and he was super chill. And he's, I wouldn't say by any means like a pop star or anything, but he's in the same realm of he has managers and he gets huge shows, and it's kind of the
more
same
credible big, than the gutter shit.
Yeah, more credible. And it was just interesting to see how he operated and how that whole industry operates on a higher level. And again, this was in Atlanta in a tiny little club, so it wasn't any big stage thing or anything.
But you'd never been to a concert.
Right,
like
exactly.
Six
so
before,
for
so.
Me, what did I know? I was, wow, this is amazing. So got that, and that was great leverage for everything. They actually ended up using my video as his like World of it was called like World of Walker tour or whatever, is the tour that he was going on in the fall, and they used that as his tour trailer, and he had like 10 million subscribers on YouTube. So that video got a lot of traction. People like started asking about other things music related and started building more of like a credible portfolio for that type of work off of that. And
I think it was like a year or a little bit further back when you were telling me that that was something you wanted to pursue more.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. And so, when we met, I remember saying like, that's where I want to go with this business. And I didn't realize how much of a, I guess, sacrifice it is, because when you're in that business, if you're going on tour with someone, it's like a video every day and you're not getting paid nearly enough, like your worth and work. And you're out on the road, and if I'm here with an apartment having to pay rent on that, and I'm just getting by paying rent on this while I'm out, it's like, it's very hard to, I guess, find a balance between like work and pay in that industry if you're not doing it with the right people. So after that, and after seeing I'm not going to really be able to get paid for this unless if I get – or get paid what I want for this unless if I get in somehow with the right people.
Right.
And that's only by just making connections. So I kind of backed off of that after the Alan Walker thing and reaching out to managers, or be like, hey, I'd love to shoot this. If you could cover like my flight to get out there, because I was starting to venture a little bit, and they didn't even want to cover flight, even though they're like, this video is amazing, we'd love to have you, blah, blah, blah. As soon as I told them my location, if I'm not in LA, they didn't want to hear it. So I was like, all right, this isn't realistic, because at that time I was thinking about getting my own place and yada, yada, yada. And that would be rent and utilities and more expenses. So just using that more as like an escape and a passion project rather than my career.
Yeah. Being realistic that first it's not going to support you.
Exactly. But I got hooked up with this DJ duo called Two Friends, and they're like a smaller DJ group. And honestly though, like I've had so much fun shooting for them, and working with them and shooting shows for them, even though they don't have the biggest platform, they're not on the radio yet or anything like that. It's just so like much fun to be doing what I knew I wanted to be doing with them, because it's not so much, I don't care so much about how famous anyone is. It's like the experience that I get. With Alan Walker, it was really cool. And I shot for Marshmello unofficially a few weeks ago. But like with that, there's so many walls. And that's what I'm talking about. When you're higher up in that almost like corporate music industry, there's so many walls to get to the artist. So yeah, I got a picture with him. We talked after. It was great. But setting up a next show, because there were so many walls to get through, I show up to the venue. Nobody knows who I am. I couldn't even shoot that show for Alan Walker. And it was like, if I just had the direct connection with him, he would have been like, oh, yeah, let him in. Like, and that's the thing with two friends. It's like we're, I guess, friends. But we're not the two friends. But, like, we're buddy-buddy. Like, I communicate with them directly. There's no manager. There's no label. It's just me and them. And it's, like, such an awesome experience to walk through the festival gates, get into their trailer, and nobody question who I am. They're like, oh, they're with
he's and with I think them. That whole thing about Rory is funny, because I had seen his post about like how he started out with Justin Bieber a couple years ago. And so after seeing that, like, I was like, I want to do something different. Like, I want to shoot for music. And this is like my only experience with this, but it was so rewarding. But basically I like reached out to a bunch of different people as well. And it was like maybe like 10 people. It wasn't like a ton. But like Ben Rector got back to me, and it was like, oh my gosh, Ben Rector, you know, like,
yeah,
whatever. It wasn't a big deal. Like, I really wasn't fangirling. And so I was going to go shoot his Charlotte show. And I was like, this is going to work out perfectly.
Right.
And then all these, like, race riots broke out in Charlotte. So they canceled the show.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, we only have one show left, and it's in Minnesota. And so it was, like, this moment of, like, this is, like, not like he's the greatest thing ever. But, like, this is your opportunity. Like, you want to shoot something for music, for you, for fun. So, like, either you're going to pay to go yourself to go to Minnesota, or you're not going to do this.
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I flew myself there. I got my own hotel. Like, I shot this show in this really cool theater. Like, just all access, do whatever you want. Like, him and I, and he's one of those artists that's not at the level of, like, Unreachable, but then probably not at the Two Friends either. So it's kind of, like, somewhere in between. So it wasn't like I was on a tour for Justin Bieber, but I was hanging out. Like, he stood in the hallway for 30 minutes and had a conversation with me, and I'm, like, trying to be, like, sounds good. Like,
yeah, you know, yeah.
Not keeping you. And he just keeps asking, you know, like the genuine people that are like, a lot of them are very genuine and caring, like you said. And so it for me, and there was even some limitations with like the venue, and they have to pay to shoot in the venue.
Right.
So I don't even know if they end up using any of this stuff. But like afterward, I just had to have that realization of like, if they never use this, you know, like this was for me. This was like an experience that taught me something. This was an experience that was like, I got to go to this show for free and didn't have to pay. And it was an investment and a sacrifice. But I think at the end, like sometimes with creativity, we have to do those things that are for us and not like if we get in that client cycle, it can be very draining.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, it's definitely. And that's what it is like with the Two Friends stuff. It's like they've offered to pay me and I'm really like, no, dude, just like. They get into big festivals with huge names. It's like, if you can just get me to that so I can shoot for you guys on that platform on that kind of stage that I want to shoot for, like, that's payment enough just enjoying that.
And perception is not always reality, I think, because, like, the people that saw me go shoot that show thought I was paid to go there and do all this stuff. And the same as, like, other videos I've shot. So people perceiving what you're doing with these artists may not be reality, but it's building your name and it's building your brand. And they may not always know that you're not getting paid for certain things. And so... yes, you should definitely get paid on something you're not passionate about. But if you found something that you absolutely love and like you need something that's creatively inspiring your gift and not draining it with just for the money.
Totally. Know? Exactly. Yeah. That's the worst is when you're draining yourself and you're not even doing it for the right
reasons. So random question that I thought of earlier. What is the most, sorry, let me rephrase this. What question do you get DM'd the most on Instagram?
What gear I use. Is like number one
and
all the time.
So that's why your bio says.
Yeah, that's why my bio says to shoot on a potato, because it's kind of like, not to be like a jerk about it, but it's like oh, by the way, follow me on Instagram at Orion.
No, really, tell them what it is.
At Orion, O-R-I-O-N underscore York, Y-O-R-K-E. Hit that follow button and follow me. Hey, that was a good jingle.
And be amazed.
Mm. Yes, about the crappy quality. Anyway, so yeah, that's why I put I shoot on a potato, just because, you know, any blah, 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 anywhere you look, people are like, oh, it doesn't matter what gear you use. And I agree with that to an extent. Dude, if you're shooting on an iPhone 3GS and I'm shooting on a Sony A7S II,
yeah,
my video is going to be better. Doesn't matter. As far as quality goes, as far as picture quality and the look and the feel, you can make a great story with an iPhone 3GS. And that's what sells in filmmaking. But if we're talking about clientele stuff, no client
wants... when you're starting, it doesn't matter what right. you have. If yep. you're literally at the ground level.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. You start to move up. Like, I go to a commercial shoot with an A7S II. If somebody rolls up with a Red camera or a C200, I'm immediately going to be...
Yeah.
You know, I might have this decent to good quality, but... You know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all
matters,
about...
but it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And yeah, if you're starting off, like, refine your skills with what you have and keep growing. I don't like these people where they're like, oh, I have to go out and buy a MDX Mark whatever, or a Red, or a C300 and kit it out. It's like, dude, just work with what you have and refine your skills, because you're going to be a lot better doing that than buying a camera that you have no clue how to operate and then going to a shoot and screwing it up and not right. getting...
It's like... the concept of less is more, and like
yeah.
someone wants to, this is going to get super nerdy, but someone starts like shooting really flat on their camera before they even know. We had this conversation
yeah,
before they
yeah.
even know how to color grade. And I've done that before. And it's like, the footage would look better if I would have just left it at the normal exactly. color profile. And so I feel like this is the direction the conversation's gone. So I want to like end with it, which is basically, what would you say to creatives in general that are trying to push towards the work that they want to do?
Mm.
When realistically right now they're probably not doing that type of work. Maybe it's whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. I'd say find an avenue. And if you can't find an avenue, create an avenue. Let's say like you want to shoot concert stuff. Hit up your like local concert venue or wherever they have concerts. And don't give a crap if it's a big name or not. Hillbilly Joe and the Buccaneers, right, are coming to town. Go shoot their show. Like, get in that environment. See what it's like to move around a stage. See what it's like to capture a performance. See what you can do with it. And just keep doing that and build up your repertoire, your portfolio in that area to eventually go and get the bigger stages, the bigger shows that you want to do.
Yeah.
Another thing is, like, a lot of people see a million followers on Instagram and they're like, oh, they're never going to reply to my DM. Or some manager of like Post Malone or whatever, and he has like 500K, they're never going to reply. It's like, never tell yourself that. Oh, wait, like, what do you have to lose? So you saw their amount of followers, and now you're not going to send them a DM, so you're for sure not getting a reply, when if you did, you could. And I've gotten like managers that have a million followers. I reached out to an artist that had 4 million followers, and they reply. Like, they see it, and they'll reply. And it's like, even though they seem untouchable, which for the most part they are, because, you know, they're not, some of the artists aren't managed by the artists themselves and they don't ever check DMs, but don't ever box yourself into the untouchable area. Go after everyone. And it's amazing who you'll see that might reply. And even if you don't get anything from it, that can share insight, or that might remember your video when they have a tour coming to your town down the road.
And so it may not even be, so yes, that's great advice. And then it could even be anyone, and whether it be a designer or an artist or whatever. It's like, seems like it, what you're saying is you're reaching and you're reaching and yeah. reaching and reaching, you're reaching and something bites, basically.
Yeah, something you know? Bites. And it's like, same thing with hotels. It's yeah. like, don't stop at one email. Like, send out 20 emails at a time. Like, it's not like you're spamming anyone.
Right.
Like, each person is getting your individual like pitch, your individual mm-hmm. video. And yeah, whatever it is in life, it's like, it's never think it's unobtainable, and just keep reaching, and yeah, something will bite.
Quality anything content. Else you want to say to the old audience that's small but growing?
Hey, we love you, audience. Keep it real. I think, yeah, just closing, it's like, everybody's like, wow, you did, and I'm not trying to sound big or anything, but for like Greenville, like I have a great clientele base in Greenville, and a lot of people like will know a video that was done by me in Greenville, and it's like, wow, I can't believe that you did this and you came up and you're working for them and you're doing this. And at the end of the day, not to sound like super cheesy or whatever, but it's like, I have to keep humble and keep reminding myself, like, literally God gave me all this and he could take it away at any second. Yeah. And that's scary as hell. But also that just reminds me, like, don't be a D-bag about it.
Yeah.
Don't, like, look at yourself so high and proud. Like, there's 500,000 people that are 10 times better than you, that are 10 times more well off than you. And it's like, just remember that God gave you every single opportunity. Mm. And it's amazing. Like, I was in a random place just last week, and some random dude came, and now I have work with him that has been, like, I've always wanted to meet him. And it was, like, a total God thing where I wasn't even supposed to be there. Like, a shoot got canceled and I got moved to this shoot, and he, like, set that up for me. And it's, as good as that is, he could take it all away. So it's like,
yeah. And I think that's so true. And there's just, like, that element of, like you said, you were so excited to shoot that, like, hillbilly concert, you know? And it's like, I think with creativity, it's not losing that wide-eyed wonder of just being excited and remembering that you used to get excited for the things that you're now almost feeling like you're too good for. And I feel that way. And it's like that. Okay, I need to have some level of gratitude that I press buttons for a living, you know, and I'm good at it and I'm creative, but, like, I still get to press buttons for a living and I still get to do it on my time. And so, like, the glory going to God is awesome.
Yeah, it's always.
And I think what you're saying with him opening that door is it's just, like, favor, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, favor, and it's, And when anybody is like, wow, that's so great that you're doing this, it's like, well, I have to. And I fall short all the time. Like, yeah, thanks, bro. Like, I appreciate it. Yeah, this is me. But it's like, no, it's like, give the glory to God.
Dude, because I've been so convicted of that. Like, I hate getting, like, this sounds prideful too, but I literally do not like getting compliments. I feel uncomfortable. Yeah. If you walk into me and give me a compliment, I'm going to feel uncomfortable. And sometimes I don't even say thank you, which sounds rude. And I'm just, like, caught off guard. But it's like, okay, then don't take credit for it. You know,
right,
like, say something else. And so
I
heard something the other week that was like, by the way, welcome to church, everyone. The other week that said, everyone can receive God's love, but not everyone gets God's favor. You know, the ones that serve God and are obedient to him and are his children get his favor.
Yeah.
Everyone can get God's love, but his favor is kind of what opens those doors like you're talking about. And also, you know, like, I was talking to a friend about this the other day. It's like, you get, it sounds crazy, but, like, it's like the secret, I believe this as a Christian, but you get, it's the secret advantage, you know, like, everyone is operating on this physical realm.
Yeah.
We're about to go into, like, hour two right now. Everyone's operating on this physical realm, but with faith, we kind of access the spirit realm and heaven and God. So it's like, we're all operating together, trying to get these same jobs, trying to get these same opportunities, but those that are serving God are getting that favor. That's like an extra advantage to those things that could open up, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I think on top of that, it's like, as a Christian, you understand, okay, when you give your life to God, like, not everything goes your way. Like, you could still have hell as life. It's not like he opens his golden gates and gives you everything you want. It's just when things don't go our way, we have that faith and we have that reassurance that someone's watching out for us and he favors us. And it might not be happening now, but it could happen down the road. It could not happen at all. Who should we be to control our destiny when he knows literally from our birth to our death what's going to happen and what he's planned for us? And it's kind of like, I always struggle with my plan and his plan. It's like, but I really want to do this. Like, I really think this is where my career should go, and it's not working, and it's just closed door after closed door. And I view it as I'm not good enough, when in reality, God's like, no, I have something better for you. And that's hard to wrestle with. But choir adjourned, what do they say after it? And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. There's your
I love it. Benediction. I think there's, like, there's so much truth to that. And it's, I've tried doing my own thing, being in full control of my life and in control of everything. And there's still so many moments where I want to be in full control, but it's like, I'm like, Jordan, you really like how it feels when you're not in full control? Cause you know that not every outcome is because of you. And so if you fail, it wasn't the right thing. Whereas I was taking things too hard because I was taking all the credit, but then also taking all the blame.
Exactly.
And so I think, although we're ending, I have one more question. I feel like as creatives, there are huge highs and lows. So you're shooting at that concert on stage in front of all these people and you're like, your heart's like racing and you're got the adrenaline rushing and that's the high. But then, like, the next day you've been like, or like 4 days later, you've been sitting in your apartment for 4 days editing. Yeah. And like, so the highs and lows of it, I feel like for me would be when I was not trying to live for God, I felt like those hit me a lot harder than when I'm like resting in his goodness of like, hey, like you got this. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's always been that way for me too. It's like, oh man, anytime I got a no, or anytime some music thing, like some big concert that I was supposed to shoot for some big name fell through last moment, and I would just take it really hard and be like, I'm not good enough. Like, literally, that's what I tell myself. I'm not good enough to do this. And now it's like, yeah, it's disappointing when I don't get a show or don't book something that I was really passionate about, but I don't stress over it anymore. And it's not something that consumes me. And that's the thing, is I'd idolize these things. I let them consume me and consume my life and my thought process. But now it's just like, you know what? This sucks. I'm getting over it. You know, 5 years from now, like, you know, Justin Bieber didn't even exist as a pop star 7 years ago. So it's like, in another 5 years, some huge group is going to be the next big thing. And who knows? I might be shooting for them. It just... so many variables. And if you look at time, it just blows my mind. It's like, how can we be so fixated on literally a millisecond of what is our life? And it's like, there's just so much time to live. Like, don't.
And the reality is, that's so true. And the reality is that you want Justin Bieber. That's a weird quote.
Hear that,
Justin? You want to work with Justin Bieber.
Right. There you go.
But at the end of the day, because you serve God, you know that you don't need that to be successful.
Yeah,
it's a want versus a need.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Chad Veach says, no, I'm sorry, Rich Wilkerson Jr. said, you know, no one owes me anything because Jesus gave me everything. Mm, you know, and it's like, we think we want these things. Like, I can look at someone right now and say, I want that person, like, or I want this person to work with me, or I want this client, or I want this job. But then if I don't get it, you know, like you said, it's like, okay, I must not have needed it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's very comforting to have that mindset, for sure.
Again, we took it to church at the end, everybody. This was not planned. But maybe it's because we're like reclining at this coffee table.
Yeah, just, it's a very spiritual experience right now. Got the mood lighting, the warm drink.
Well, tell everybody where to find you, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, so my address is... no.
My license plate is...
Yeah. Orion York. Orion, like the constellation up in the sky. ORION_YORKE on the gram. You can look my name up on YouTube if you have a strong desire to get overwhelmed with memes and ADHD activity. But I don't have, like, that's weird. Like, I don't have any, well, okay, I cannot say that. I'm sure I have ADHD off the hook, so I'm not even going to say anything. But I'm a pretty normal-ish person, so it's really weird if you meet me and then see those videos, but you'll understand when you see them and meet me and all.
Well,
that.
I genuinely do appreciate being on. You're super talented.
I appreciate it.
This has been our first in-person interview, which is super awesome and super vibey.
Glad I could be
and
the
so
first.
I appreciate you being on, taking the time to do this, and you're super talented. Can't wait to see where you're going. Like, I really do mean that. Like, I admire your work. I love your work. You're an even more fun person. I think that's like enjoyable, that you feel like, hey, I'm not always serious and that's not the most professional, but yet we've had the conversation that I think with personal brands, people want to connect with a person. So
thanks,
you're that person.
Me.
You're uniquely you. Of course, all because of your girlfriend, Emily.
Of course, all because of Emily. Did we mention Emily Wilson?
Emily, we love you. Good luck shooting Foster the People tonight. Yes, I'm really jealous.
I know, me too.
I'm gonna ride home and sing that song. What is it, about the money or something? It's not like it's all about the money.
Oh, is it? I don't know. See, I'm a bandwagoner. I'm just jealous because I have a song on the radio and all that. But
so how long have you guys been dating? I'm literally dragging this show as long as possible so I can find the name of this song.
We're going on 4 years now. Yeah, like 3.5 right now.
It
but
is
yeah,
called
that song.
Oh my gosh. Here it is. This is the main reason Orion and I even work, is doing it for the money.
Mm.
Everybody.
Everybody.
I don't know if this is going to mess up our recording, but hopefully we can end the show by literally playing Doing It for the Money.
Yeah.
You've been listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I know the song.
Sometimes.
Solo.
doing it for the money, doing it for the money, doing it for the money. I don't think we could have ended this any better.
I think that was perfect.
Like, there's actually, I'm actually not going to record an intro and outro on this. Like, That was it. Subscribe to this freaking podcast. Mm. We promise that the guests are only going to get better after Orion.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I set the bar pretty high then. So good luck.
Because every guest from now on is just going to be Orion. He's a permanent co-host.
Woo! I like it.
But seriously, he's shaking his head no. And making a sign about money in his hand right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm making it rain over here.
Okay, well, thank you guys for listening, and have a wonderful day or night.
Bye. I want to have the last word. Bye.